Okay, this is gone. Hello.
I am Tech Shelly.
Yes, we're here to talk to you about old news. My brain's no very good because I'm very sick and like nose all stuffed up on thing. Call Barter now. So I fall asleep. So there's
do
call.
Do you have a radio
messing.
Or the television on somewhere?
Yeah. Do you need me to take turn Tarsteris and have it a pep?
Yeah, we're doing the call in radio show where the guy's got
turn that off for you. Alright, just a second.
Now batting Manny Mota. We got the echo.
I just turned off the whole power grid with a little remote.
Oh, there you go.
I had a little remote, and I was like, hiya. Cha.
You turn just off. Shut down a 7-block area in D.C. with no power?
Yeah, that's why the stoplights have been out today, because I've been turning the power on and off. Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy, just past 24 hours. Goodness gracious. We've had
another crazy person scaled the fence there at the White House.
Exactly. I do like the fact that this is national news, because there was a while where it was just one crazy thing after another, and it wasn't national news. Like, most people wouldn't know that, you know, about 3 years ago, somebody shot the White House with a gun shooting at the windows of the White House. And
that one amazingly, I mean, was scratched, you know, on the news for a second, but you know, left off pretty quick. But I know they focused on it more in your area.
Yeah, well, you know, it's people like us, not us, obviously. I'm not taking credit for the news spreading more, but people like us who live in the area and have contacts outside of the area, who are, you know, spreading the news nowadays and spreading DC news to people who are interested in it, who live in other places. Because I'll never forget not being able to drive my fiance to work after we had breakfast one day, because 395 was blocked off because of a terrorist attack that had been just foiled by the police. And yeah, nobody heard about it. It was so weird. It's like, that's such a huge thing. A guy was trying to blow up the Pentagon, had a SUV full of explosives, and nobody outside of the D.C. area heard about the story. We had to hear about it because it was traffic.
Yet another doggone terrorist blowing crap up. And, you know, and it's like, what do you mean another? Hold on.
Yeah, it's a wacky.
Back it up. Part of this conversation I'm missing.
It's a wacky place. Oh goodness. So
so.
Go ahead.
I had an exciting weekend. You know, my philosophy is that, you know, tech can save mankind from our woes. And then I proceeded to brick my own computer. My own computer became a source of frustration for me, and much stress.
Wow.
I have, of course, fixed it since then, but yeah, that's not my finest hour.
Well, we all might have a chance at redemption pretty soon. There's a few opportunities for us to give back to the community that I'd like to talk about on the show. To go back to your, we could save the world with little things. I'm gonna try to be volunteering for helping out the Special Olympics this summer in DC. So I didn't know if that's something you wanna work on too. I don't think you'll be able to. You'll be helping out with a similar angled camp down there probably. But yeah, that's what I'll be working on this summer. Let me see here. I'm trying to get myself onto the website so I can read our article that we posted. Chomp, 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 chewy, chewy, chomp. My brain, no, is not working. My brain. Ow.
We're going to put up an email, because I honestly, because you and I, you know, both agree not to agree with everybody else on the planet.
Yes, or each other.
I think, or each other. I mean, and I think what we show is that people can have diametrically opposing views on the same subject, and actually disagree with ourselves half the time.
Yes.
And still get along and you know, love each other and have respect. And you know, so much of the political talk is, you know, die, kill you, you know.
Well, and so many times it's like, I'm in McDonald's and I'm going to order a burger. I'm in McDonald's and I'm going to order a double cheeseburger. F*** you.
Well, when it comes to Democrats and Republicans, it's like, all right, we're going to tax the snot out of you to do X. And then they both argue about what X should be.
Right.
Not, hey, you know.
Well, that's where the, you know, occupazel was strazels and the T-paradiers both kind of the fringe ones both had their moments where they would occasionally come up with a sane statement like hey, a flat tax or something, cuz this tax system is BS.
It's funny, the movements usually peter out because they don't have a cogent leadership. I mean, it's goofy to say, but, you know, I mean, most of the presidents of our country are you know, already entrenched politically, of course, but a largest percentage are actually even related to each other.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
And it's like, you know, just naturally as people, we look for and we look for people that are of higher status and families and all that. And of course, money equals power. If you have the money, you have the power. And so that's why things like net neutrality, Comcast has got three different attacks on net neutrality heading through both Congress and the court system. They filed a lawsuit and they're running it through they're trying to get it through Congress, the Senate.
You know, pardon me.
So they're attacking it in every possible way, which should be a clear sign that they have serious financial gain to get by doing this.
Comcast has their what's the big ball from Death Star? They have the Death Star outside the Capitol building.
Yeah, they got the Death Star, and then they've got you know, a couple of Star Destroyers, and they. If we're making Star Wars references,
I have to say, did you see the? I don't mean to. ADD the moment, but have you seen the commercial for the new Star Wars?
Well, I know I'm going to watch the film. So I'm one of those people where anytime there's a trailer, I put my head down and go la 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 with my fingers in my ears, because it pisses me off every time I've seen the end of a movie in the trailer.
Yes.
You know, because you're like, oh, well, I know they're safe because I've seen that building explode and those four people go walking away from the explosion. Yeah. You know they're fine.
Well, it's...
And when you've watched the entire film up to that point and the building hasn't exploded, you're like, oh, cool. Well, I know how this ends completely.
Well, it's a J.J. Abrams film, so he's pretty good at commercials. He's pretty good at that. So mostly establishing shots. Mostly establishing shots, and then one shot of Chewbacca standing over a dead Han Solo, howling. You know. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Spoilers. All right.
Yeah, I know. If that had happened, the internet would have caught fire and exploded. I would have had a lot more calls this past week.
No, the J.J. Abrams is probably the best thing to ever happen to sci-fi. I'm wildly not that sci-fi. You can get, you know, this is Gunn talking, and you can get me into the most bubblegum of sci-fi stuff, but if you hand me an Asimov novel, I'll just be like, nope, I don't feel like shooting myself.
And some of that writing in this novel is so dated.
Yeah, I just, I'm. It's hard to get me into
the concept of a portable phone.
What?
Right, when you're reading sci-fi, that's the thing. I've gone back and tried to read some Philip K. Dick and Asimov and all those things, and what pulls me out of the story immediately is like, well, you can solve this entire thing with a cell phone call.
No one thought of the cell phone, except for Mark Twain. He thought of the internet. That was creepy.
That was impressive.
Yeah. So here's some of the news. Let's jump back into news.
Let's focus. Let's pretend like we don't have crippling
ADHD.
My friends
have ADD. I can't keep their attention unless I'm on TV. All right. I'm gonna do a vine with that. I'm gonna sing that. It's gonna be a vine. Okay. There's sad news. The Census Bureau shooting. That was. This is one that probably hasn't made it out of the area, because it was just kind of the.
It made national news, but it was
like
a
blip.
Hey, here's this thing that happened, and they said a security guard was killed.
Yep.
And that there's a shootout with the police. But because it didn't have this is terrorism or this is going to be some kind of ongoing thing, it was just, more violence in a very violent city kind of story.
It's one of those issues, though, that I don't know. It's worse than terrorism, And I think that's kind of the big issue with it is DC has demons, and it has a lot of kids growing up there who don't know that it's DC. They don't know that it's the capital of the world. They don't know that if they keep their nose clean, stick their head to the grindstone and get to the age of 16 with a clean criminal record, they could go be interns at any what's that called, embassy from any civilized country that's represented within DC or within the Beltway. Not all the embassies are in DC. Some are in the surrounding area, and it's really depressing to see kids growing up in a culture that just ignores the outside world in the capital of the outside world. And I've been working here for about 5 years now, and it's really depressing. And I've been touched by the violence in this area, both, physically attacked myself, both seen people murdered and it's really depressing because it's worse than terrorism. It's something that, we're going to lose at least 300 people this year, as we do about every year, to just violence, just stupid violence that's, it's part of the culture, and nobody's rushing to say why? It shouldn't be part of the culture. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, and this is the perspective I came from. You know, I mean, we come from a family where Grandpa was in the Army, our dad was in the Army, you know, and when my dad went over to, Iraq, it messed me up a lot, because I realized, you know, when you hear, you know, three soldiers died, I'm thinking, man, that's not just three guys dying. That's three families that are just rocked to their core. You know, maybe the primary breadwinner for the family has just been taken out. You know, if something happened to me, I've got a special needs kid. You know, it would be just absolutely soul-crushingly difficult for my wife to continue on. You know, and so anytime you boil it down to numbers, you know, you have to be able to function. But you know, it's cliche, it's Care Bears philosophy, but really, every life is or should be sacred. You know,
yeah.
And so the security guard that died, he had a couple of kids and grandkids.
Lawrence, you know, Buckner. His name wasn't even mentioned in the news report, which was just very troubling for me as somebody who does security contracting, who has a lot of friends in the security contracting world, to have the news not even mention this guy's name, you know.
Hey, you want to know something terrible? It actually might be a good thing to not mention the name. It's pretty common for people that are killed like that, you know, where they'll have an accident or something on the road, for their house to be cleaned out before the family even knows they're dead if they announce the name.
Sheesh.
I found that one out from a ex-U.S. Marshal. He said that a lot of times they could release the name sooner. They want to make sure somebody in the family knows, or else, you know, that house is going to be emptied if the person's easy to find.
Sheesh. Yeah, well,
which is just horrific to think about.
Yeah, rest in peace, Officer Lawrence Buckner. So,
yep.
Then this story is this next story is a local DC story. I'm sure you haven't heard about it. It's about our royal family here in DC. We have royals here. The descendants of the king of DC, Marion Barry, the mayor for life. Now his family is.
I heard he was a crack mayor.
Yes, he did smoke some various drugs, but he's very respected amongst the community because he did a bunch of things, you know, that help people out, like jobs, programs, stuff like that. And
for the record, I'm in favor of jobs.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, you know, he brought the kind of the craziest of DC culture. You know, you can know DC culture is wacky. You know, just the fact that it's so criminal. And you know, you'll deal with people who, you know, will say, yeah, I smoked PCP, the way, you know, in the Midwest someone would say, yeah, I've smoked weed, you know, like it's that saturated in like drugs and working police contracting in DC. One guy was telling me how they used to steal cars, and it's like, this is insane. That this is like, anyway, DC stuff is a whole level of darkness that's unfathomable. You know, it's like your brain will kind of, when someone's telling you a story like that, you'll just be like, oh, this is a movie. They have to be lying, you know. You don't like,
yeah.
Oh, this is a person who steals cars. You know, they make it clear. Oh, that was my past. I don't do that anymore. And it's like, you know, I'm just glad I didn't get caught. It's like, goodness gracious. All right, but yeah, Marion Barry, with all his wacky stuff that he would do, one thing that he did do was he brought the fact that there's a normality to that level of criminality in DC to the mainstream. And I don't think a lot of people saw it as like a cry for help as it should have been. It should have been like, hey, there's some big problems that need to be discussed here. But instead, a lot of people were just like, oh, well, people are happy with him. And I feel like I'm glad that he, you know, accomplished enough that was good that could overshadow his bad, but also the bad stuff still needed to be addressed. It still needed to be like, hey, this is not normal. This is not normal to smoke these things, to do this, to do that. And I really want to invest some time with some charitable organizations that work with like education and stuff around here, because kids need to grow up knowing that there's more than just, you know, the three blocks that they know when they get off the school bus. And a lot of kids around here
that's the reason why. I mean, people that go to college discover that people are different and the same all over the world. And when you have a culture where, you know, or even just a region where you're in a well, you're never going to get out of that area.
Yeah.
You're never going to be exposed to new ideas. You know, that's where you get your, what you like to call them, the Jonesboro Baptist Church, but, you know, you get the Westboro guys, you know, where they hear nothing but their own echo chamber, you know.
Right.
And that's the thing I've loved the most is you know, talking to people that have diametrically opposed views to me.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we could try to ride down the middle line so we could try to understand where people are coming from. But there's some people where you're like, man, you're just, that's so crazy. I can't even fathom it. But you know, you try to figure out where they're coming from. And, you know, there begins the understanding. And when you've got, you know, that, like you said, that if you could tell these kids, hey, stay, you know, keep your nose clean, and hey, you could impact the world with what you do.
Right.
You know, age 16, you can start changing the planet.
I know. Well, and that's so, it's so bothersome to see, you know, when you dabble in both worlds, you know, the how young and I mean, literally like 16 and 17 year old kids working as interns on K Street, and then, you know, you go back to special police work, and it's 16 and 17 year old kids who have already been in and out of jail twice, who are now trying to attack you because it's what they do on Friday night.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Although I do think there are some people who just, you know, the wiring's not quite right in the brain. You know, we've won personally, but he's been given every benefit on the planet. He's still in and out of jail, you know, and has a loving, supporting family.
Yeah, well, you know, my point is there's plenty of people like that who are just, you know, just complete sociopaths. But it's education that turns a sociopath from somebody who will just murder someone because they want to at the moment to somebody who knows that the good of all is for the good of them, so the most sociopathic thing they can do is benefit everyone. You know, like murderous sociopaths like Hillary Clinton feel that way. What was that?
They end up running for office.
Exactly.
You know?
That's what I said. Murderous sociopaths like Hillary Clinton feel that way. If I can get enough people to vote for me, I can have more power. And then I will be like the chosen people.
Sorry if my audio is a little rough. I'm driving into a hurricane.
Oh, that's fun. Yes. All right. But what the story that we were getting into, though, was Cora Mastersberry Cora Mastersberry was, from what I understand, the ex-wife of Marion Barry. Not even the wife that died with Barry. This was his first wife, Cora Mastersberry. Now, before he died, 5 years before he died, Marion Barry had a friend who donated a kidney to him. And when they got together to donate a kidney, which is, if no one knows what that means, let me explain what that means. That means she put a part of her body into his body to keep his body alive. They were that friendly with each other that she gave part of her life to this man. And while doing that, they created a charity. A charity that was going to help other people get the kidneys that they needed, get the organs that they needed to stay alive. And they called it the, let's see here, it was Kim Dickens, and I believe it was the Barry Dickens organization. And so the ex-wife of Barry, Oh no, you're a robot. Okay, say something.
I'm roboting.
Oh no, you're good.
Okay.
That was horrifying.
But clearly it should be nobody thinking how many problems.
What was that? Clearly.
Clearly what? A charity no one would have a problem with.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And her lawsuit against this charity that no human would have a problem with, Cora Masters says that this woman is using Marion Barry's celebrity to raise money without the permission of the family. Now, what is going on? What is beeping? What's beeping? Okay, and we're back. This is...
Hold on. Wait. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
You don't lose.
Can you hear me?
You're going to lose me in a second.
Can you hear me? Is she a big, great big fat person?
Okay, you hear me?
Yes. Our producer is showing us pictures of cute kittens.
Oh, my ear. Kitty. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. All right, are we back?
All right, the car's going to pick up in a second.
Do, do, do. Doodle, do, do, do.
Getting there.
I'm playing around with.
Okay. Now you should be able to hear me.
Okay, I can hear you.
Okay.
Say hello, spaceman.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm
so
fine.
So you were leaving off where you were talking about a charity that...
Yes, I was talking about the Barry Dickens... Oh, doggone it. So annoying. Oh, Joe baby? Oh, Joe baby? Is your baby? Is your good? Oh, Joe. Nope, has to stay in there. Hello?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
Yes, I don't know what happened there. Okay, so we were talking about this charity. And Cora Masters Berry is a beep. Okay, so yes, there's a charity that was founded by Kim Dickens and Marion Barry, as Kim Dickens was giving him part of her body so he could stay alive for another 5 years on this earth. And Marion Barry's ex-wife, 7 years later, comes out and says, "Hey, that charity made money off of my husband's name." Mind you, this from what I've been told by people who know the family, she wasn't even married to the guy when he died. And so she's saying, "Hey, they were using the celebrity of my husband to raise money without the family's permission." And instead of just giving the family's permission, which is what a human would do, she has sued this charitable organization for all the money they've raised. You know, all the charity money. The money that goes to charity. She wants all that money for herself. Cora Masters Berry is terrible. She is like the worst person on the planet. She wants to take money from a charity that helps people find organs, and she just wants that money for herself. Just to roll around in it, I guess. You know, maybe, probably she's going to use that money to buy orphans off the black market and murder them and drink their blood. Because she's evil. I can only imagine she would do something even more evil with money that she steals from a charity. Holy crap. So, yes, that's a real story. I have already posted links to it on thepodcast.com. But I will look for updates, and I'll try to post those as well. Anything to add? Do you think? Can you think of any other things she might be wanting to do with that money?
The scary thing is even if she's not successful, you know, she doesn't succeed in getting the money. The charity has to spend time, effort, and legal fees to fight it. And so it's crippling. It's absolutely crippling to have to battle that. And
so, I think I get what you're saying. Cora Masters Berry existing is proof that there's no God, or at least no justice in the universe.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is she doesn't have to win to highly inconvenience the charity.
No. That I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, someone that evil who is going to cause that much trouble for good, decent people is just sort of proof that there's no justice in the universe, right? I mean, I don't see... It's basically scientifically proven that because Cora Masters Berry... I don't know. I guess God could turn this one around. Like, let's say she walks out in the street and is like, "I deserve all the money from all the charities." And then a meteorite just blows her brains out of the back of her head. You know, then lightning strikes her corpse. That could be the only way that God could turn this one around. But the fact that she exists at the moment is just mocking the concept of God having ever existed.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Yes, may a flowing molten river of fallen angels sing you to hell, you bitch. Oh, man, honestly, she wants all the money from a charity, all the money raised by a charity for herself.
I'm surprised that a lawyer would be on board with that.
Well, he knows he's going to get paid by somebody.
yeah, actually, you know, if he's smart, he's not working on a contingency basis.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, hey, crazy bitch, you're going to pay me by the hour, okay?
Exactly. Well, yes. And the way lawyers bill, you know, sometimes in 10-minute blocks or, you know, 6-minute blocks or... I'm so frustrated. My stupid bank sold my account to First Bank. You know, they switched banks on me. And the ATM just said, thank you, take your cash. And then didn't give me any cash or even a printout or anything. So did it just steal $60 from me?
Sounds like it.
This is maddening. Oh, Lord.
Ish. Well, make sure you keep the little printout receipt.
It says, thank you for visiting us. Remember your card and cash. What the heck?
Sheesh. Holy cow. Do you ever just have your Chromecast on and some of the pictures pop up? Do you have a Chromecast? Tech,
no,
do you have
a
Chromecast?
Chromecast?
Oh, okay.
I went the more insane route of building entire computers that hook up to television.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty nuts. But yes, Chromecast. Chromecast is a little annoying because you have to be your own television programmer. Like with YouTube, you can program an entire evening's worth of TV watching from YouTube. But you know, you got to stay on your stuff and be ready to fast forward through 3-minute long commercials, you know, and stuff like that. So it's a little frustrating. Our producer's got Apple TV that she says is pretty good. So I don't know if you've played. You don't have it? Oh, okay.
Okay, that's hilarious. So it drops the call, hangs up, can't reconnect us, and then it goes, hey, take the time to rate Viber 5 stars. Now that we've just pissed you off.
Yes.
Is your mid rant? You know, when you're building a home theater PC, the key concept is building it quiet, because you don't want, you know, people saying, and you see, that's why we built our homes in the valley, because of, you know, and the fans kick in.
Yes.
So it's all about building a silent. Yeah, that's, and heat control is the major thing. So yeah, I got a pretty cool setup. I can actually stream video games in my house from my robust gaming computer.
Neat.
To the television computers, and then the cool thing is, you know, you can put family videos and all that on all the little computers hooked up to the television. And because I'm a cheap bastard, most of my televisions are broken units that I've taken in and repaired.
Neat.
So my net out-of-pocket cost is extremely minimal.
I want you to know that I'm playing with our sound studio here. We actually have... Oh! I bring to you...
Levels go up?
I don't think you can hear it on...
Boring vampire.
We'll have to mess around with this.
No, you just want crazy weird sound over there.
I think that's just Viber. That's just Viber being weird.
Viber being Viber.
Yes, we are talking to you over Viber. Oh, we need to set up a podcast Viber account.
Dial in line, like a Google Voice or Viber line.
No, like a public Viber account. There's like celebrity Vibers. So we're on Vine.
Where people can call in and leave their death threats with absolute clear clarity.
Yes, where people could be like, Infidel, Mu'adawu, Allah, Fa'afaham, Mu'afadan. You want to be like, oh, fans.
I just read a very depressing article about a TED talker. Who was trying to explain how memes work? You know, memes travel the same way genes travel, and they change and alter and all that. And so as she's giving her thing, saying, you know, it's just, they evolve over time, just, you know, and so here's how. And a bunch of Muslims and fundamentalist Christians stood up and left her speech because she was talking about evolution. And it's like, you know, that sickens me because, you know, these were college-age students. Like, even if you don't agree, if you believe that the Earth was created 27 minutes ago and all of your memories are fabricated, you know, sit around, though, and maybe somebody else can convince you otherwise. And, hey, maybe, you know, after the person on the stage is done, you can meet up with them and explain your, you know, the Earth was formed 27 minutes ago theory, you know? It makes me sad when people refuse to even hear ideas they disagree with. Now, I mean, there's times where, you know, I'm exhausted after a day and I don't want to read, you know, people being beheaded or things like that, or, you know, I don't want to see things that are going to make me angry. But by the same token, you know, if I'm in the mood to learn something, the only way you're going to learn something is by seeking out people and things who aren't you.
Yeah, that's true.
Who aren't in your echo chamber. You know, when I eat lunch, I get to watch YouTube at work, and I watch woodworking videos. I'm not really super interested in being a woodworker, but by gum, it's fascinating watching a guy use, you know, primitive tools to make a mortise and tenon joint, you know?
Yeah.
And it won't be woodworking videos next week. Maybe it'll be cross stitch or something. Something I'm not actually interested in, but, you know, I'll learn something, and it's calming, you know. I'm not going to kick up my stomach acid while I'm watching it.
Oh, well, if you wanted to watch an arts and crafts one, you should watch the Does Not Compute crack.com one about doing arts and crafts with your genitals. They just posted that. I think the Democrat National Committee, we haven't talked about Hillary Clinton starting her campaign at all. It's just, it's so depressing because the Democrats, you know, the cool ones. We're reconnecting to Bieber. The Bieber. Okay, you're there.
Viber being Viber again.
Yes.
And
yes.
Every time it disconnects you, it's like, rate us 5 stars.
Yeah. So,
more timing.
We haven't talked about the Hillary Clinton thing because it's just so depressing because, you know, the Democrats, we're the free thinking ones. We're not like those Republicans who are just lockstep. They're like the Nazis, man. We're free thinkers. We're the Democrats. Hillary Clinton is God. She is the goddess. Like, I thought you just said you were the free thinkers in that, and you're not like those Republicans who are cult followers. But Hillary Clinton is the goddess. What has she done? She's done nothing. She is a woman. Are you against woman, thou life bringers? She is the goddess. Just,
you know,
unbelievable.
Elizabeth Warren is the one that the Daily Show has really helped prop up. And she's got, out of the, you know, if I had to flip a switch and choose right now, out of the two, I know which one I'd choose. But the whole point of this podcast is, we ain't choosing.
Exactly. And can I just say, one of the guys who actually stated some logic about the Iran deal, which the administration has not said anything logical about the Iran deal. When they do come out to say something about it, it's like, Iran not doing terrorism or supporting terrorism, that's not gonna change. And like, Ernest said that. Josh Ernest said that last week. It's like, then why are you at the table with them? You don't, that doesn't make any sense to come out and say that like we're the stupid ones for expecting the people that we're sitting at the table with to not be doing the one thing that they shouldn't be doing, which is supporting terrorism. It's insane. It would be like us sitting down with the state Shinto Japanese in 1945 and going, okay, so what's going to happen is you guys are going to keep doing all your incursions into Southeast Asia and China and shooting our boats in the middle of the water. So what else are we going to talk about? Don't build bigger boats, I guess. Yeah. Can you sign something that agrees you're not going to build bigger boats or something? Like, it doesn't make any sense. They're not stopping any of the bad stuff they're doing, which they are doing tons of bad stuff. They're attacking our Sunni allies all over the place. They're conglomerating our Shiite allies by encroaching on their territories, and they're threatening Israel constantly. And also, they're threatening us constantly. And we're just going to go, well, they're going to do that. Duh. That's not an answer. They're going to do that. Gosh, stop freaking out. That doesn't make sense. And that's the only answer we've gotten from the administration. Like, hey, the Ayatollah just said death to America while we're having these quote-unquote talks. And their answer is, well, he says stuff like that all the time. That's their answer. That makes no sense. So, yeah. Rubio, a Republican candidate, says the first logical thing about it, which is we shouldn't have a deal with them unless they acknowledge our ally Israel, which is a huge litmus test. If you're a country that can recognize Israel's right to exist, that's a huge thing, because that means you are not in the Ku Klux Klan of the Islamic world. You're not in that level of hyper-conservative behavior. And yes, I don't understand why people get confused about that, but people in other countries can be conservative. Somehow, somewhere along the way in America, we've gotten mixed up that only people with white picket fences are conservative. Everyone else is liberal. Anyone who goes to church is a conservative. Everyone else in the world is a liberal. It's like, no.
That's one of the loop subjects. When you're talking about biology, there's loop species. Where the ends of the loop can't breed. You know, but you can take animals all throughout the range of that species. But geographically, the two edges of the loop, even if they end up closer together, they're so far apart they couldn't breed. I find that with Israel existing. I worked with a guy, and he's kind of my go-to for the hyper-liberal viewpoint. You know, I stay friends with him on Facebook, and he's one of the ones he's railed against Hillary Rodham Clinton, because she's far too centrist for him, because she's pro-war and anti-union and things like that. So but interestingly, he hates Israel. The other guy at Wild Tangent, total redneck racist guy, also hated Jews, but those two were so diametrically opposed on every other possible thing that they couldn't stand each other. And I was like, and so, the liberal one was going off on a tirade the one time, and I'm like, oh, you ought to talk to so-and-so. He hates Jews, too. And he goes, I don't hate Jews. I don't think Israel has a right to exist. I'm like, well, do you have a final solution for handling Israel then? And he's like, it's not like that. I'm not anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I get so aggravated with a lot of people might not know this, but I converted to Judaism about 12 years ago, 15 if you count
the in-betweener time when I didn't quite know what I was. But yes, I converted to Judaism a while back, and whenever I go to like a solemn event or whatever, I'll wear my yarmulke, because you know you're supposed to wear it when you pray. Well, I have a friend who can't get over the yarmulke. Like, he can't get around it. Like, you know, we walk out of the funeral and go, "Wow, that's a really beautiful funeral." I just, you know, I would like to hope that if I... What was that?
You can't get around it because it's a fantastically large yarmulke. It's 8 feet by 4 feet.
No, it is a tiny black beanie that you can't see very well, unless you're really looking for it. But that's why I keep trying to get you to convert, because it covers that part of your head. It's really nice.
We did the genetics. That's what's bizarre, is you and I are full-blooded brothers, but I didn't get the Jewish gene.
Yeah.
You showed the genetic marker for it. Dad carries it, but apparently, you know, the way genetics works, you don't pass on all your stuff. Somehow the blonde-haired, blue-eyed genes ended up in my son. I don't know how that works.
Yes.
We have people who, I mean, usually you don't believe somebody is their kid. People don't believe my wife is the mother of our kid.
Well, let me get back to this guy who I can't have a conversation with, because I'll say, "Wow, that was a beautiful service. I'd like to think I'd have, you know, a half the friends that she had, you know, would come to my funeral." And he'd go, "Yeah, I know Jews at the place I work, and they don't care for Israel." Okay. I mean, I could walk up to him and be like, "Well, that game it was a really good game last night. I mean, the Redskins really held their own." "Uh-huh. You know, not all Jews like Israel." Great. I'm glad my yarmulke was turned all the way up to 11 and you couldn't hear me talk. So, yeah.
Blinders on, you know, to things. And I remember... Like, you know, we look at people with, you know, the niqab or the hijab on, and, you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, they might be a terrorist." But I remember our grandma, as late as the 70s, wouldn't be seen outside without a covering on her head. You know, I mean, that used to be a cultural thing in America.
Oh, you mean our Catholic grandma?
No. I remember one time we were at a gas station, and this is right as they're making the switch from leaded to unleaded gas everywhere, and her the car door was open and her headscarf blew out, and I mean, she freaked because she couldn't find anything to cover her head with, and she was a classy woman. She also wore white gloves all the time when pumping gas, when they switched from full service to self-service. She felt like she was being brought a bit low, having to pump her own gas.
Yeah, that must be on our Kurdish side. Yeah, but she would look like a Kurd with a headdress on. Actually, you know who looks really Kurdish Well, Kurds can be blonde. They can be, you know, blonde, redhead, stuff like that. So that's Azaris too. That's another like Persian ethnicity. There was an Azari teacher at one of my Persian classes who looked just like Grandma Lou.
She is a tough woman.
Yeah. This is really nuts. I don't know what's going on with my internet on this computer. No connections available. All right, there's something wrong. Something screwy with the internet reader here.
All right. We got to wrap up the podcast portion of this because I got to go in and I got to buy like a candy bar and then get $60 cash back.
She was. All right. Well. Yes, Hillary Clinton can do no wrong. The Democrat National Convention is already backing her, which is completely unethical because they're supposed to be Democrats and for democracy. And no, they are. No, we are following our goddess.
Wait. My hyper-liberal friend was going on a rant because he got a a physical letter in the mail saying, basically saying, hey, we're going with Hillary. How excited are you? Super thrilled, mondo thrilled. he was going off on a tirade because it's like, how about none of the above?
Yeah. Okay, and this is my Democrat friends.
Away from being called a socialist.
Sorry.
You got, in his eyes, you got someone who was on the Death Star of Walmart.
Yeah.
Which, as a libertarian leaning guy, Walmart pisses me off because tax money ends up underwriting their healthcare thing, and Walmart's big enough. They could honestly employ a doctor that would travel between areas or something,
Yeah.
Still, provide, in a libertarian way, provide medical care,
Yeah. Yeah, they could definitely hold their own monetarily. They don't need government handouts. I'm not really familiar with all the ways that Hillary has besmirched her name in all directions to be a centrist, sociopathic political monster. But it's just sad to see people who are, I'm a Democrat, so I have to love her. And then there's the people that just love her, and they're not even Democrats. I voted for Bush, but I would have voted for Clinton as many times as possible. I love Clinton. And I can't wait to get Clinton back into the White House, even if he'll be the husband. It's like, that's just weird. What is wrong with you? Like, this is, give us liberty or give us death, overthrowing the British rule because we're Americans. We're not about aristocracy. We're not about having a monarchy. And there's just so many people that are like the loyalists to the throne. That are just nope. We want the royalty.
Loyalists to the throne of either Bush or Clinton,
That's the thing with the Bush thing. I don't know anyone who is for Bush. That's not true. I know one person that is for Bush if Rubio doesn't have a chance. But his first choice is Rubio. Basically my one Republican friend, his first choice is Rubio, and it'd be Bush if not Rubio, and everyone else I know is like for Alan West. If they're a Republican, they want Alan West. And whenever you turn on the TV and there's like a channel that doesn't interact with Republicans, like MSNBC or CNN, they'll be like, yep, Jeb Bush is the front runner. And like, there's zero polls that show that. There's no real accounting that says that. You're making that up. You're just bold-faced lying. You're just trying to make other people look as crazy as you are about Hillary. And that's basically what it is. They're just projecting.
Here's the problem is to get through the primaries, the people that vote in the primaries are the lunatic fringe, the people that are single-issue voters. If your issue is I don't want weasel stomping outlawed, I want to be able to stomp on weasels. Chris Christie's going to come out and say, hey, I believe anybody should have the right to stomp on weasels at any point. That brings out the fanatical base. It's like, yes, we have to vote this guy in. But then another state rolls along and, they're a much more liberal state and they're like, why the heck are you stomping on weasels? That's really not the major problem. Now, choking seagulls, on the other hand, that's my single issue. And so some other candidate, way stronger in the choking seagulls camp, these are euphemisms for gun control and homosexual marriage. by the way.
I think it's more fun to just say what you're saying. That's more.
I mean, you have to play to your base, and so the problem is then after you play to your base, you end up with somebody who's unelectable in a general election because, you know, they've either pandered to the weasel stomping or seagull choking fringes, and you know, that's kind of what happened with the last election with Obama. The last election with Obama, where in a couple of places, I think Iowa was one of them. Iowa and Michigan, weren't going to get a lot of conservative voters out, so some quasi-funded groups got the gay marriage thing floated out there to kind of go booga booga. You got to get out and vote. You know, big scary bad things are going to happen. You know, if with the conservative voters. And it worked in Michigan. They turned out in record numbers to make sure they voted down gay marriage. It failed in Iowa.
And remember, if you don't get out and vote gay marriage down, your gay husband will be waiting for you at home.
Exactly. Well, what they didn't make clear is whether or not it was mandatory.
Gay marriage will be mandatory. Sorry.
But, yeah, all right. So I've got to wrap this up.
Okay.
I have to...
All right. Yeah, I just my thing is whenever the people go, oh yeah, Bush or Hillary. Okay, just remember your Facebook. How many times have you seen a picture of George or of Jeb Bush up on the screen with the words, "I'm ready for Jeb. How about you?" How many times have you seen that on Facebook?
Although, to be fair...
No. Tell me the answer. Tell me the numerical answer. How many times have you seen that on Facebook?
Zero.
Exactly.
Also,
how many times have you seen that stupid picture of Hillary? I'm ready for... That 15-year-old picture of Hillary, and it says, "I'm ready for Hillary. How about you?" How many times have you seen that?
Yeah, no, actually...
Three, four, five...
No, the only post I've seen is my one hyper-liberal friend complaining about her.
Okay.
And it was where she was spitting food out of her mouth. So
I must have more Democrat friends than you, because I've seen that picture too many times.
You clearly do, and you probably have more like middle of the party pack friends. I've got some out on the lunatic fringe.
Yeah. I'm so blown away. I've got, you know, outspoken. I got a friend who posted a picture of himself with Donald Rumsfeld. So I also have Republican, not that many Republican friends, but the ones that I have are outspoken, and none of them have been, "I'm pro Jeb Bush." But my Democrat friends are, "I am for Hillary. She is a goddess."
So. Well, and I mean, you know, I'm for fiscal conservatism usually, but yeah, what you end up with is the whole seagull choking debate.
All right. Well, I'm for seagull choking, and my brother Tech is for weasel stomping. I want to remind you all to 5-star your Uber drivers and tip your servers, and good night.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And this episode of the podcast, The Indefensible Middle Ground, has been brought to you by D&M Consulting. Do you hate your computer running slow? Viruses? Malware? D&M Consulting provides on-site services. We come to you weekends and evenings. No more dragging out your computer waiting days. Call us. Your computer can be repaired in hours, not days. Homes and small businesses we support. Call us at 301-987-8922 and ask for Dan. That's 301-987-8922 and ask for Dan. Or go to our website, www.dandmconsulting.com. That's Delta Alpha November Delta Mike Consulting.com. All one word there. So we will make you love your computer. All right. And if you loved it, but your computer got sick, we'll make you love your computer again. That's dnmconsulting.com. All right. And good night, everyone.